God is good. Amen? Amen? And while they're receiving the offering, let me say this to you. This is the end. We've just finished 21 days of prayer and fasting. How many had God do something significant into your life this year? Different or do whatever. You saw something, suddenly something happened. Would you do us a favor? Would you write that out? Just write a brief testimony out, and then you can email that to us. If you go to info@solidrockfaithcenter.com, you can send us an email there. You can go, if you're friends with the church, we have a Facebook page, Solid Rock Faith Center, on Facebook. You could post it there on Facebook. But next week, we'd just like to share some testimony. While we were praying that first week, we felt the Spirit of God saying that God was going to do some suddenlies. And we just felt that collectively, all of us that were here for prayer, we felt that. That first week, we averaged over 45 people that came out every night for those 7 nights of prayer. And God just stirring something in us in that capacity. And then many people started sharing their testimony. God was doing this, and this happened in my life. We want to be able to get that out and let people know that prayer works. Amen? The greatest thing about prayer, the most affirming thing about prayer, is the answers to prayer. God didn't just say it just to talk openly to the heaven, but that He actually hears and then He answers when we pray. Isn't that exciting? Praise the Lord. So we want to be able to share that with everybody, the great things that God is doing. Amen? So if you'll do that, you can email it again just to info@solidrockfaithcenter.com. And that information is in your bulletin, but also you could post something on Facebook so we could read some of those next week. Praise God. Amen. If you have your Bibles open to John chapter 17. Praise the Lord. Or actually, excuse me, go to Matthew 7 first. Matthew 7 and verses 7 and 8, Jesus declares this in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." How many know that sounds pretty affirmative? That if we do this, this is what will happen. Praise the Lord. I like that. Everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Father, we thank you in these next few moments. Lord, you'll speak to our heart. By your Spirit, you will open the eyes of our understanding. You will broaden, Father, our insight and clarity into the truth of your word and all that you desire to reveal to us today. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Look at the cover of your outline, if you would, with me. We have just come to the end of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. So I want you to pause and ask yourself, what has the Lord tried to reveal to you in your life? He promised if we would seek, we would find. So what did you find? What opened and what was given to you? I believe many times it's there, we just don't know it's there. That He's answered, we just haven't really paused to hear the answer. Amen? How many of you are like me when you're in conversation, the other person is talking, but you're already thinking of your response? Does anybody do that besides me? Okay. And so, while you're thinking about their response, you're not really hearing everything they're saying. You're just kind of casually listening, waiting for them to pause so you can interject your response. It's terrible, I know, but we do that. And sometimes we do that with God. We prayed, and we're waiting on the Lord, but while we're waiting, we're already preparing our next prayer. We're already preparing our responses. So God's trying to answer, but we're kind of like not listening. And so I think sometimes He's answered. I think He's already responded. And sometimes when the Bible says, just be still and know that I am God. Wait on the Lord and He'll renew you. Amen? And so with that, it's important that I think God, we pause and allow Him to speak and wait until He speaks. My question is this. If we were truly to make a permanent reset in our life, what would that look like? On Tuesday nights, I spent the last two nights talking about doing a reset. And we've all done that. We've had to reset something. We talked about if you have in your bathroom, hopefully you have a grounded switch in there, but it has a breaker on it. It has a red button and a black button. And if it trips, you go over and you push the reset button. And sometimes spiritually, we need to push a reset button in our life. We need to go back. If you have an iPhone or do whatever, I don't know how to do the other one, but if you have an iPhone, from time to time, you have to hold down both buttons, the thumb button at the top, and reset your phone. Kind of reboot it and get it back and do all that. If you've had a computer, you know that on your computer, if it gets viruses, you can do a restore and it takes it back and reformats it and gets it back to its original programming. How many know sometimes we can get a spiritual virus? I mean, there's all kinds of influencers, things coming in, come from other, and every now and then we just need to reboot, reset, purge the thing out, and get back to that original programming that God had for our life. And so we ask, God, what would that look like if I reset, if I allowed you? And sometimes just making ourselves available to God, say, God, I want you to do that. This is my idea. I think this would be something cool for you to do in my life, but instead of planning it out, I think I'll just submit to your plans. I'll let you do the reset. I'll let you do the structure of that. Think about it. This is not a question or a call or to call out what is wrong. It's to ask with honest intent what could and should change in our life if our desire is to live for the glory of God. I believe every Christian wants to do that. You want your life to glorify and to honor God. But in doing that, say, God, what does that look like? What would my life look like in glorifying and honoring you? Look at John chapter 7 and Jesus' prayer for us at the end. But I want you to listen to his declaration. Listen to how he begins his prayer. How many know the Bible says that we are the sons of God? We are children of God. And the other day I thought about this driving up to the church and Thursday morning when I was coming up working with the homeless. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't plugged in to being involved with our homeless ministry, do that. Take one or two times. We have a few weeks left, 7 or 8 weeks left. Why not just volunteer? You can come in the mornings. You can come in the evening. You can help clean up and do that. And you get to know them. And it's just awesome. They're cool people. They have a peculiarity about them, but that's interesting. Amen. You might be able to get in a fight with one of them. It's cool if you roll that way. It's awesome. Amen. But anyway, it's all good. At the best, it's entertaining. Praise the Lord. But it's fun. It's just, it really is fun. It's exciting. And it means that it ministers to people. Amen. You can minister to them. You come alongside them. And they need that. They just need that care. And somebody, it means a lot to people to care for them and to be there for them. Praise the Lord. But as coming up, I was thinking that the Bible says, the Lord makes it say, in the Psalm, it says that God sets the orphans in families. God sets orphans in families. I meditated on that. And then the other verse that came to mind right after that is that we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And so that means that each and every one of us here, we were spiritually orphans. And we've been adopted by God into the family of God. And we cry, Abba, Father. So outside of God, we've been orphaned by this world. We don't really have that Father. But then God comes alongside of us, and He adopts us, and He places in this family. And that's what we're a part of. What we said during the album, when we come together for men's meeting, come on, this is family reunion time. And we connect, and we have this great community. We're not isolated. We're not alone. But He takes orphans, and He places them in families. And so the Lord is praying, and He's praying over us, and He's praying for us to have unity. But listen to the beginning. What would a life look like that was lived to glorify God? Verse 1, and Jesus spoke these words and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may also glorify You. Wow. Listen, Jesus, this is the Son of God. God, the Word, became flesh. And now the Lord is praying back to the Father. This is God's Son, the Son of Man, God's only begotten of His personal seed. And then He's praying back to His Father, Father, glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You. Think about, what about that kind of reset in our lives? Father, glorify you. And I'm for it. I love when the glory of God comes into our services. I love when that anointing is so thick, you could proverbially cut it with a knife. When the presence of God and the presence of God is just so thick and so tangible. You go, man, God is in this place. I love that. But how many know God's glory is greater than that? And glorifying Him is so much greater and glorious than that. Think about it. As you, verse 2, as you have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as you have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. How many know that narrows things down pretty much? Just kind of narrowed things down. There's a lot of talk today that kind of everything's okay. He says, hey, that they may know you, the only true God. How many know that just kind of narrowed it down to one? Amen. Now what? In verse 4, and I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had you before the world was. And maybe I could just take a little interpretation leeway here, but I believe if the Bible says that He knew us before we were formed, that before He formed us, He knew us, and we talked about that a few weeks ago, the miracle of you being here today. What an amazing thought. But here, Jesus said, I had a glory with you before. I believe that in God's mind, He had a prepared glory, what He's prepared for. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man. All the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. There's a prepared glory. Amen? And so Jesus said, that glory. God, glorify your Son. And that should be our desire. Father, thank you for here. But I'm living here and so to honor you and to glorify you. So whatever you have to do to reset in my life. God, so I can live that way, that my life glorifies you and then you can glorify me. And there's this divine exchange of agreement together. Amen? Hallelujah. So I just, in trying to bring a close to this and launch us forward into this year, this is some thought that the Lord gave me. I believe this, that true Christianity never gets any deeper than our original commitment and vow to God. Real Christianity, you can't go any deeper than all in. Hello? You just can't. You can't go any deeper than giving your life to God. What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to come to Christ? It means to exchange a vow, to declare to God, God, I give you my life today. Because Christianity is a resurrection. And in that giving of that life, it's the death of yourself. You have to die to yourself to be raised in newness of life. If I could break it down as subtly as possible, if you haven't done that, you're not saved yet. You have a mental agreement with God's salvation plan, but you haven't been raised in newness of life. To be born again. Think about those two words. Born, not just refurbished, but born again. Born anew. Being a new creature. Being raised in newness of life. And that's what water baptism is all about. 2 weeks ago we had that water baptism. That we are buried with Him in baptism. And we are raised with Him in newness of life. So Christianity can't get much deeper than being all in. I can learn more about that. I begin to explore that and it can open up and that life blossom and unfolds before. But at its core, are you with me this morning? At the core, at the beginning, at the very foundation, there's nowhere to go deeper. And sometimes in the block, we think because we can explain it more and we have more flowery speech around it, we have more explanation. No, just get back. Here, this is it. You died and you joined and you vowed and you made the commitment. You're just all in. And you're going to live the rest of your life all in. That's it. Amen? But think about like Mary. Just like a marriage never gets any deeper than the vow made at the beginning. Wow. 35 years ago, October 20th of this year, I stood and looked in this beautiful young lady's eyes. Stand up, sweetheart. And we looked at each other. And this is what I said. In the vow, I said, all that I am and all that I ever shall be, I give to you now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I gave everything I was to her. Okay, what's left? Nothing. I gave it all. We need to take our relationship deeper. Deeper than what? All. It was like all. It wasn't all and 50 cents in my back pocket. It was all. Janet's taking that literally. I haven't got paid in 16 years. She gets all my checks. The other day, there was an adjustment made to my payroll. She goes, oh, I put that on your check. Your wife has it. I said, thank you. Just comforting to know that somebody got it. Hello? Because all that I am, I give to you. And it was amazing. She said that back. Now watch. So with God, that's literally what you say. But what happens? Look at me. Listen. Both of these are maintained by keeping and honoring that vow and pledge of our troth. We don't use that word troth much anymore. What does it mean? It is a solemn pledge, especially the promise to remain faithful, exchanged by a bride and a groom or an engaged couple and our love. So we pledged our troth to remain faithful and our love. It was the forsaking of all others and all things for the prize of one. That I would choose to forsake everything. And the amazing thing is I believe this, and I believe the Bible and Scripture bears this out. If you study it, and the Apostle Paul said when he was talking about the church, and he's talking the analogy between a husband and a wife, and he says, I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the relationship between God and humanity, that we are literally the bride of Christ. Amen? And He's coming back, and we are going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And in the engagement, in Jewish culture, you have the engagement, and the couple gets engaged, and then they're betrothed to one another. And then during the time of betrothal is when the groom goes, and he works, and he prepares the place, and he saves, and he gets everything ready. And then he comes back after preparing the place. Then he comes back, and they have the ceremony, and then he takes his bride to what he's prepared. That sound anything like anything in your Bible? Jesus said, because I go to prepare a place for you, and He's coming back, and we're going to the marriage feast of the supper of the Lamb. And so in that, we are betrothed to Him, but in that betrothal, He has pledged to us His faithfulness, and we have this exchange of a vow, and we've said we will keep ourselves faithful. We are waiting for your return, that we are forever joined to you. Somebody shout amen. And so we live out of that commitment of fidelity in our life. The heartfelt conviction that this one is worth it all. And I found that with the Lord. God, remind me, you are worth it all. Sometimes when we fast and we pray, it's that reset to remember. God, you are worth it all. And it's like in a marriage. You need those resets where you take time and go back and just you and your spouse go someplace and you get alone together. And it doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to cost you thousands of dollars. You don't have to fly to the Bahamas. You don't have to go here or go there. Come on. When you met each other and you looked in each other's eyes and you began drooling and you couldn't talk, what was capturing you was not your ability to go to some place and recline and retreat and run your feet through the water and the sand and enjoy and sit in bubbles together. That wasn't what captured you. What captured you was the eyes of that person, and something in your heart was connecting with that person, and you're saying, I'm enraptured by you. Me too. And so you're just entering in. It didn't matter if you had anything. And there was that day when you met the Lord Jesus Christ, and it didn't have anything to do. You didn't know anything about the Bible. You didn't know anything about the Word. But you looked eye to eye to God, and you were enraptured in Him, and He was embracing you. And you go back to those times with God. Say, God, I love you. And it means this. In our relationship with God as your pastor, I'm not here. It's to never ask more than what the Lord would ask of any person. I have responsibility never to ask more of you. When we're asking about the gym and helping or ministry, we're not asking more than what the Lord would ask of you. But we are asking from every person all that the Lord would ask of you. Do you understand that? And so in commitment, it is with my wife. She's not asking more of me than I have the right to ask of her. Amen? But we just chose to be all in together. The choice was made when we make that decision to now live our lives out from this moment. From this place, from this commitment, this union, from this love. That our lives from this moment forward would be a flow bubbling up like an infant stream gathering strength on its course to become a mighty river carving out a path through life until it reaches its final destination. How many of you have ever been at a mountain stream, a spring coming up? And you watch it and it float and it trickled down. And if you traced it, if you've hiked in the woods or hunted or anything, then you found that little stream and you find it goes down. And pretty soon it broadens out a little bit and a little more supply comes in and things that. And it grows and it grows. And pretty soon down the road it's a brook. Then pretty soon it's a real stream. And then pretty soon you keep following. It's a river. And if it makes its way, it'll find its way all the way to the ocean. Its final destination would be to arrive at the ocean where all the waters come together. Kind of a picture of heaven. Amen? That's us. Every one of us has our little beginning origin in God, and it's that spring. We're at the very beginning. Go with me to John chapter 7. Just turn back to your left a couple pages. Watch this. Verse 37. On that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Anybody ever been to one of those little springs and you either knelt down and drank that brand new fresh water bubbling up out of the ground? Where I go deer hunting up here by just below Hell Hole, and I stay out of Hell Hole. I hunt just below that. And just the thought of hunting there scares me, amen. But anyway, so I say just below Hell Hole, and there's a place called McCullough Springs. And if you know where to look on the road right there, you have to know where it is, because you go up and the spring starts right there. And then there's this little pipe coming out. And this coolest, sweetest water comes out of that spring. And you go there and go, and drink, and it's just so refreshing cold. It's awesome. Jesus said, why? Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart or innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And so we come to Christ, and we have this union, and out of that union begins this little stream of life comes out. And as it continues its course, our life becomes a river. Shall flow out of that beginning bubbling of that spring, becomes rivers of living water. And it goes, and so that by the end of our life, when we get there, we should have an increased flow. Are you with me this morning? There should be this increased, magnificent flow connected to our life. Think about it. And even though that flow is confronted with obstacles and instructions, the power in its flow cannot be abated. It stays true to its purpose. And with time, it will erode away the obstructions and pushes forward to its goal and its destiny. When you and I and God say, you know what, God, we're going, but there's some obstacles coming my way. But I'm staying true to my flow. I have a new order. I'll just keep eroding at this thing. I'll just keep pushing against it. And it's amazing. You can have a landslide that comes down and blocks the stream, but pretty soon the stream finds a way and it weasels underneath there and it moves some things out and then it backs up a little bit and then it shoves everything out of the way and we go, okay, back to normal. Glory to God. Amen. It just works. Hallelujah. Think about it. The thought may come, though, to dam it up. It's a great flow. Let's dam it up. That's a dumb idea. Let's dam it up. Why? To build up a reserve and to regulate the flow so as to assure always having enough. Or in other words, we need to take control of the flow. Control the flow. Control the flow. We'll just make sure there's always enough. Think about it. But not at the expense of a loss of true identity. See, I have it dammed up, but now the lake changes the identity of the river. And I get more caught up in the joy of the lake than in the flow of the river. Sometimes our marriages get dammed up with too much stuff. Amen. And you need to blow a hell hole in your dam. Amen. Watch this. Think about it. But think about it. But not at the expense of a loss of true identity, where the reserve becomes more valuable than the flow. Are you following me this morning? Stay with me. Listen, becoming persuaded that once I've stored enough, I'll be able to share always being able to release enough to render aid and assistance to others downstream in our life, all the while abandoning our trust in the original source and supply, forgetting the purity and innocence of our beginning, and becoming impressed by what we have become, forgetting that if not for the purity, innocent, and intimate flow of that spring, the river of our life would not be here. There would be nothing to store. And sometimes that's what the reset goes back. The reset is, man, I just need to come back. I need to go back to McCullough Springs. Because I can go all the way down to Folsom Lake and look at the beauty of it that used to be. But its origin, if you trace the American River back, you'll take it all the way back to a little bubbling spring. And that's where it began. And your life in God began at that intimate moment with that bubbling up of that pure life. Just like our marriage. Thank God for everything that's happened in 35 years. But the key is to never forget the moment that the spring began. Because if you forget the moment, you become impressed with everything else. Are we doing all right? Because I remember many times when people are going through struggle, I say, hey, wait a minute. Just stop. And it doesn't matter. If your Christian life has got dull, hey, just stop. You used to love the Lord. Now you're just a criticizing, back-minded, prune-faced, ugly thing.
I'll tell you what they need to do down at that church. You know what they need to do down there? I'll tell you what they need to do down there. They need to fix this and fix that.
Wow. I love you too. And wait a minute. You need to go back to the stream. Oh, that's refreshing. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, just go back and fall in love. Don't forget. Amen? Don't forget. And then you're married. Okay, before you had all the problems, that's what I say, it was just you two. I mean, you'd talk, and then you'd spend all this time together, and then you get home. And back before you had cell phones, you couldn't talk while you drove. So as soon as you got home, you couldn't text, and so you call up. How many laid there and just breathed through the phone and didn't say anything? Come on, every hand. Come on, you liars. You guys are lying. You like lay there. You didn't say anything? No. You still there? Yeah. Okay. You still there? Yeah. Okay. You going to go? No, not yet. You want to say anything? No. Just breathe. Come on, one other person. Who else did that? Oh, thank you, Trent. God, a man. Hallelujah. All right. And so then, what happened? Okay, what happened to that moment? What happened in that moment? I'll tell you what happened. All the other stings that have flown into your life outside of those, the two of you, everything else that has flown in and made up what you call a river, they're pollutants. They're contaminant, and they've contaminated your stream. And you need to reset your life. You need to reset your marriage. You need to reset your relationship with God back to the stream, back to the foundation. We say, God, reset me. Bring me back to that place of cleanness and purity, because underneath the flow, if I get under the bottom of the river, the purity of that stream is always flowing there someplace in the middle of everything else. Right now, you can see the stream in Folsom Lake. But see, we thought, and we talked about this morning, discipleship, they thought, hey, and Granite Bay is facing it right now, guys. That the intake for their drinking supply is about to be exposed. The water is getting below the intake for their drinking supply. And I'm thinking about it prophetically like this. How much of a drought, what will it take for us to humble ourselves and pray? Chris shared this morning, if you look at the weather pattern of our nation, isn't it amazing that the food producing states of our nation are in drought? And the weather goes like this, and so all these things are happening in drought. And the other side of the nation is freezing. And colds are dipping in places where it wouldn't be before. Florida being colder than Alaska. But we just go on good about our way. Because I have a job, I can pay for my Starbucks through the drive-thru on the way, life's good. Take my Starbucks away and I'll pray. But our nation is there. What does it take for us to say, God, heal our land? Has something come? What's happening? And people look at things. But God always says when we turn away. And I say, how many remember we were founded as a nation under God? And you look at our nation. And so on personal levels it can happen. On corporate levels in a church, churches can get polluted. Marriages can get polluted. Our personal countries get polluted. It applies all the way up the chain. Are you with me this morning? But that place where we come back, that place of innocence before God. Let me finish this morning. Think about it. Trace the mighty river back to its source and you find the pure and innocent trickle of the spring. Untainted, unpolluted, refreshing and clean. Trace our lives and our loves back to its source and you'll find the same spring of innocence and life. A reset with God is a trip back to remember the origin of our life. Back to the place of beginning before there was any increase. Before other influences began to flow in and join forces with our flow. Some of the greatest moments and treasures that Sue and I have, and I shared with the guys this morning, in our first apartment, we got married. We had early American, hey, you want this? How many decorated with that? People say, what's your decorating style? I'll take that. And so we had her childhood bed and her little night tables and stuff for decades. After we were married. And we had this couch. We bought a Jacob's Code of many color couch. It was our first couch we bought. And it's like, okay, 1979. It was in, okay? And so it was there. And so we bought this cool couch. And there was also a hide-a bed that was our guest room. It was awesome. And then we had our dining room table was a little 4-foot round card table. And 4 little folding chairs. We had you over for dinner and you cut and your milk went all over the table and stuff. But none of that mattered. Because what we had was each other. What we had was the purity of the life. It was the life in the room, not the stuff. And in your life, in your walk with God, it's the life in the room. We have a 3-bedroom house, furniture in every bedroom now. We have a kitchen table in the look. We have a little breakfast table, again, from Hey, You Want This? Yes, we put that back there too. Beautiful. But it was an upgrade from the card table. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful red mahogany table that a family gave. It's sit back there. It's very nice. So we have 2 tables that you can cut on and not spill your milk. But you know what? it doesn't affect the life. It adds nothing to the life. And all I'm saying today is that sometimes our resets, we get caught up and we think, if I had this, if I added this, if I did that, somehow I would make my life better. My daughter, when she was getting married, she said, hey, just because you started out with nothing doesn't mean everybody has to. I said, true, but you will miss the adventure. You will never know the joy of milk flying everywhere at a guest dinner. Amen. You'll never know. You missed that joy. Amen? So watch. Think about it. Repentance is just a change of course or action. It's a new direction. It's a redirection which returns me to the proper course of my life. Actually, repentance is just going back to the spring and drinking one more time and remembering. Think about it. It reminds me of where I started and where I'm going. It's the most positive decision that a person can make. Yet sometimes, Bill, if you come to the keyboard, sometimes, at the same time, it's one of the toughest because it forces me to admit the need for change of direction in my life. That if I keep on this path, it will not end well. I tell people this a lot of times in marriage counseling. They say it's over, we're going someplace else. I said, hey. Let me help you. You already know each other. And whatever you don't do here, you're going to have to do there anyway to make it work. Can we just be simple and real? Whatever you don't do here, and I speak from advice. I got saved coming out of a failed marriage. That's what brought me to the Lord. I failed. And so I said, wait a minute. Let's just stay here and fix it. We could do this. And if we just could go back to that spring and drink again. And many times people do it in church. Church is a marriage just like a lot of other things. You get involved, it's commitment. People, well, I'll go to another church. Okay, but whatever you didn't do here, you'll have to do there, or it's going to end up the same way. So somewhere you're just going to have to do it the right way. Amen? Regardless of whatever. People go, I hate my job, I hate my boss. Blah, 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 blah. Well, okay, whatever you have to go to and get another job. Whatever your attitude was here, you're going to have to get it right there. Or 6 months down the road, that's going to be the worst boss in the world too. Don't shout me down, I'm preaching real good. Amen. Now watch. Why should being willing to change course to assure that I arrive at my expected end be viewed negatively? Because the devil doesn't want you to change. He wants you on this course. For me personally, I finished last year with the desire for God to reset my life back to the beginning. And I don't know, you get older, you think about things differently. But this year, it's an exciting year for us. This August is our 25th anniversary. 25 years ago this year, we planted Solid Rock Faith Center. Last year, I turned 60. I go, okay, this is awesome. And so you think about, but wait a minute. God, just because we've been here a long time and just because I'm getting older, it doesn't mean that my life in you can't be fresh. That it can't be like the beginning, that somewhere it has to dull, it has to slow down, and something has to change. No, it's the same. Because what you've given me is eternal life. And you said, out of my innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Not dying, decaying, or decreasing water, but rivers of living water. So God, reset me back to the place where I'm focused that there are living rivers of living water flowing out of my life. How many are hungry for that kind of reset? That beside me. God, do that in my life. Amen. So I was desiring to refresh the zeal and purity I had with Him at the start. I asked Him to remind me of the vows that I have made and to strengthen me to keep them, to purge the influence of outside sources. And your reset could be totally different. So I've begun to make changes and renewed commitment. That's why you're here. Well, Thursday night we're going to have a leadership meeting. Yeah, we're going to reset some things. Let's change some things. Amen? Let's do this. Praise the Lord. So I'm making changes. Why? Because I want to finish the way I started in purity, passion, and purpose with God. Discipleship, we're reading the book called Radical. If you're interested, I picked some more copies up. You can. We have a few of them out there. But at the end of the book, he asked people to make this one-year commitment. You know what it is? It's just five things. Let's pray for the entire world. Come on, what if your prayer got bigger than your personal desires? And then, well, what if you read your Bible through in a whole year? We talk about outside. People say, well, I don't have time. You know, I'm so busy. Well, let me ask you, how much time do you spend playing games on your phone? Posting things on Facebook? Reading email? Googling every thought you can think of? Talking, I mean, doing whatever. I mean, come on. Or watching programs? And even though today with DVR and stuff, you can program and watch it later. So you may never watch it then, but you have stuff ready, reserved to sit down and watch for a couple hours. But if you read 10 minutes a day, you could read your Bible through in a year. And so while you're praying for the entire, while you're expanding the borders of your prayer, and then you're reading your Bible through, maybe through prayer and reading the Word, God might speak something larger to your heart. And then after speaking something larger to your heart, maybe the third step might become a natural progression to sacrifice your money for a specific cause. What if I took 1 year and said, God, I don't need to spend my disposable income on another toy, on another indulgence, on another thing, on more stuff to store or do it. But God, I'll ask you, and this year I'll find a special cause to do something to give to. Amen. What about if you spent your time in a different context? And then to commit your life to a multiplying community. What does that mean? And that's part of my prayer. I put these four things on the back. I don't have time to go through them this morning. But I put the four things of prayer, evangelism, discipleship, and community. Because it's my prayer this year that our church transitions from a place. And we're a great church. We're a fellowship church. But I want to see us become a greater community than we are. Because we gather to hear, but we don't always gather to live together. So that we connect it and more and invite more people in. Think about it. This is a radical reset for many, but usually it is where most of us get started. See, I told the Lord 35 years ago that I would go where He wanted me to go, I would be what He wanted me to be, and I would do what He wanted me to do, and I would say whatever He wanted me to say. And that commitment came at the spring. The place of my first drink, the beginning of my new life. And I don't want the flow of life to alter or to change the purity of that beginning. So I'm asking God to reset me. I'm asking you to stand with me this morning. I don't know what your goal was in your prayer and your fasting. Maybe just saying, God, just show up, tell me something, reveal something. But this, I'm just sharing my heart with you today. God, reset my life. I'm praying for your marriage. Come on, let's just reset our lives. Let's reset our marriage. Reset our relationship. Come on, just because I got it wrong doesn't mean I can never get it right. That's what I purpose. God, I got it wrong. And through failure and through that, you still love me. You embrace me. You accepted me. You still use me. But God, lead me to get it right. I want to live and get it right this time. Do life right. Maybe that place of that vow. Have you made a vow of being all in with God? God, I'm going to live. Has your river turned into a dam? And now you're controlling the flow. You got it together. You're ordering. You're directing. And you feel real good. I'm releasing this and I'm releasing that. Hallelujah. But what about that free flow? Where God directing that course and charting that course? Think about it. Just returning to that place of simplicity with God. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask our leaders to come stand. And we maybe just want to pray with you. Maybe just to take a step. See, at that beginning, when the stream comes out, it's a free flow. And it finds its course and it's ordained. And God said it'll flow up here, but it'll find and it'll begin to carve. But God, let that flow do its work. Let it do its work. Let it create its course. This morning, maybe you would like somebody to agree with you in prayer. We want to pray for you. Maybe you said, I want that reset back in my life. Maybe just to step up and pray for a moment. People say, Pastor, why do you always call us forward? Because movement is powerful. Movement is powerful. And I want to challenge you, even in this area. Let me ask you this last question. How's your faith? How's your faith? Say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? What are you saying? Has so many things crowded in that, what are you declaring over your life? Are you still declaring, I'm the healed of the Lord? Are you still declaring, my God shall supply all of my need? Are you still believing? Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and said, hey, how you doing? Are you still strong in the faith? Are you still speaking? Let me ask you, are you speaking what you were speaking a few years ago? Are you declaring that? If somebody asked you, hey, how you doing? Friends should encourage one another, exhort one another. Amen? If somebody come up and said, hey, quote me a Bible verse. Okay, I'll get back to you. But get God's word in your heart. But stir up your faith. Say, God, I'm going to believe. I wrote this down. Let me read. I know I'm taking too long. But listen, I like stuff that stirs me up. Things that ignite me. In Christ. I may not be the greatest man to ever walk this earth, but I know who is. I may not amount to what you think is much, but I already do to Him. While people keep searching for answers, looking for a light in the dark, I'm standing with the answer because He is living in my heart. In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wing. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ, I have His righteousness. In Christ, I have what I confess. In Christ, I don't worry about all the rest because everything I need to be is in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you still declaring? Are you still pressing? Father, I thank You this morning for each and every one. Lord, I pray this morning, God, that You do something dynamic in our lives, God. Reset us, God. Take us back in this moment right now. God, remind us of the strength. Father, let every person in this building right now, by Your Spirit, remember the day of the springing up of Your life in them. The purity, that spring, that joy that they found in You. God, for every marriage in this room, let them remember the day they looked in each other's lives. They didn't know how they were going to make it. They didn't know what they were going to become. They didn't know what the outcome would be. They just knew that they were looking into the eyes of the person they wanted to spend the rest of their life with. God, let the purity of that love and that spring rise up in their heart today. God, in our love for You, rekindle the spring of our heart, God. Remind us. Let us go back and sip again that water of purity and clarity and refreshing, God. Jesus' name. God, let us walk through this year refreshed by You, reset by You, God. Jesus' name. If you're here and you need prayer in the area, you feel dry. Teresa had this word this morning. You feel dry like you've been in the desert for a long time. Step out and come up here. If you have a hip problem in your body, step out and come up here. If you have a chemical imbalance, somebody has a chemical imbalance in your brain, let God touch you this morning. Somebody is here and you've held back in your relationship here because of something that happened prior to you in a church and in a relationship there. Amen. If you're here and you're battling chronic pain, then God wants to minister to you. Somebody here who's smoking and you want to quit, come up here. God will break that spirit of addiction and nicotine off of your life in Jesus' name. If you just need a reset, come on up and say, God, reset my life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Make a vow. Reassert your vow. Take your vows again before God.